The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, you confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure of heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace that in our words and deeds the world may see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
A reading from Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I set before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 15 responsively. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle? Who may abide upon your holy hill? They do not slander with the tongue. They do no evil to their friends, and they do not cast discredit upon a neighbor. They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. A reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. In order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Word of God, word of life.
Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The Gospel of the Lord.
About 20 years ago, I was serving a church in South Dakota, and the other pastor and I would trade off who was preaching on Sunday. And this particular Sunday, we were lined up, and both of us would be in the procession, and both of us would be vested. And we were lined up ready to begin the procession, and one of the acolytes turned around and said to me, "Who's preaching today?" And when I said that I was, he rolled his eyes and he said, "Here we go again, baptism, baptism, baptism." Well, I didn't know I had quite that reputation for having always the same theme, but that's not such a bad thing. You know, I could be known as the one that always preaches about money, or maybe the one that always starts the sermon with a very lame joke. But baptism, I think, is a fine life theme. And I find every opportunity I can to remind myself and to remind you as well to remember those promises that were made when we were baptized. We need to be reminded of the gifts and the responsibilities as we live our daily life as Christians in this community of God's faithful people, where we're nourished and nurtured by word and sacrament. But it's not just remembering the gifts that we receive at baptism, claiming our status as God's beloved children. Baptismal life also wants our response to those promises. Next Sunday, we will it's a preschool Sunday, and we've invited all of our preschool families in a special way to come and join us on this particular Sunday. And we will be baptizing 3 children from our preschool family. Lillianne, who comes to communion every Sunday with her mom and shows me her shoes. Where did that start? She always it's in mom's arms. She always sticks out her foot and shows me her shoes. She's going to be baptized next Sunday along with 2 little infants who are the younger siblings of our preschool children. And I think this is a great opportunity to bring those families here when families that have only the slightest connection to church, and to hear what it means to be baptized, what it means to live as a baptized Christian. And in the words of the ritual, we pray that the baptized and ourselves being reminded of this, learn to trust God, to proclaim Christ through word and deed, to care for others and the world God made, to work for justice and peace among all people. I think that's quite a job description. That's quite a promise that we make. And we all say that we're going to help these people do that, live that way,
And we remind ourselves that we've also made that promise, that this is how we live our Christian lives together. So no matter whether we're a few months old or 4 years old or 40 years old, baptism is not just a one-time event. It's not just something that happened to you. It's how you live. Christians live out their baptism in their daily walk. And we need all the help we can get in that daily walk. Those baptismal promises echo that passage from the prophet Micah that we just heard and that we sang in our opening hymn. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Three things that define the path to peace. The path of a life well lived, the path of a Christian walking wet in baptism. Beyond being able to quote that passage or sing it, there certainly isn't anything easy about living it. But as we walk, if we did boil it down to this, to these three things, and actually practiced it, wouldn't this be a different place? Wouldn't this indeed be the kingdom of heaven that Jesus promises in the Beatitudes? Wouldn't this be living out our baptismal promises in all of their richness? He told you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. What would it look like if we lived this in fullness in our families? If your aim in your family was to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God? What would it look like in your family, in our church, in our nation, in our world? What if each of the peacekeepers in Egypt and Syria and so many countries in Africa, what if they were all trying to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God? What if our city and national government officials put kindness and justice and humility in first place in all of their decisions and deliberations? What if each individual made justice and peace among all people their aim? What if that was the goal of your day as you got up in every morning? It's my goal today to do justice, to love kindness, and to be humble in the sight of God. That's a lot of what ifs. That's why we take every opportunity that we have to turn our heads toward the font, to remember our baptism, the beginning of our new life as baptized children of God. We are washed in the water. We are nourished by the bread and wine of Holy Communion. We are shaped and formed as God's community, as God's family in this community. We are able to make those what ifs come true because we share in the power of Jesus Christ. It is in that power, the power of those who are baptized, who live every day in grace and in the strength of that baptism, we can make those what ifs come true. This is all that God really wants of us. Three simple things: justice, kindness, humility. So remember your baptism. Claim that strength of Jesus Christ to live in response to that simple request. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Amen.